Welcome to the ride. It's gonna get bumpy.
and you and I
have been saying this the whole time. It's like, we're waiting for the rug. Last week, the rug got pulled. This time, we all fall down. I thought it was gonna be a bunch more people. It turned out it was a hand.
Oh, I wanna be a machine. Yes, I wanna be a machine.
Hello, it is time for the Recap from Mercury, our show, where we just go over the most recent episode of Mobile Suit Gundam, The Witch from Mercury, the most recent of Gundam shows, and we are at the season finale.
Yeah. Oh.
Headphones. Anyway, so this is our season finale. We'll get to it. We will get to it. But first, let's talk about our sponsor, RightStuff.com, and the Gundam Aerial Robot Tamashii figure. It has a number of excellent accessories, and it's still up for pre-order right now. It'll ship at the end of the month. What else do we have to say about it? It's got a bunch of cool little add-ons that'll let you display, you know, the bits, the gun bits flying around. It's reasonably priced, I think $75 US dollar-y dues. And you can get it at our link in the description so that they know that we sent you. And then they will give me some dollars for doing that. And that's really what the key is.
And we like some dollars.
Some dollars are really, that's just our goal. Some dollars. Not a
some dollars are better than no dollars.
Some dollars. Just some dollars.
Better no dollars.
We are start, and of course this episode 12, which is entitled Keep Marching On Instead of Running Off, begins with a little bit from last episode. Just catch us all up, the doors are closing, Mio's on one side, Zuleta's on the other, Prosper's like, no, we gotta get the gun ready, cause my daughter will save us. The kids from Earth House, they're on a spaceship, they're in trouble. And then we get the opening theme.
We do get one line, this may not be before, until after the opening theme, I think, but I think it is before it. She doesn't say, my daughter will come to us. She says, the girl will come to us. I'm like, Prospera, going a little Gendo on us. Prospera. And that starts a whole new wave of conspiracy theories, but we'll talk about that later.
So, Earth House is trying to evac. It's not going great, because, you know, our space crime friends, Dawn of Fold, are blowing everything up. They are blowing up all exit strategies because they are here to kill Delling for money. And then the Dominica and the station cops show up. They are starting to have a shootout. The biggest battle scene since the prologue. We got things going back and forth. It's nice to look at. Mio bumps into her dad, who is also trying to escape with his bodyguards, and he's just mad at her for not finding a spacesuit.
In his defense, like, they are blowing everything up. You could get sucked down in space. Put on a damn suit.
Those should just actually pop out of the walls. The spacesuits should pop out of the walls. They should be like perfect on the airplane with the gas thing. Yeah.
There's a little compressed air shoots straight at you. Put this on, dumbass.
just spacesuits flying out of the walls all the time. Everywhere. Whole thing should be hard to navigate for spacesuits floating around. We go back out into space. We see that the Dominica is rocking their stuff. They've got the Grassley suits, which means they have the antidote, which means bullshit. The antidote actually sucks, as it turns out. As it turns out that it only works up to perm at level 3, so we have, you know, one of our lovely Earth Witches just blowing right past that.
She gets to perm at level 4, but it's not fun getting there. You can see it hurts, crying about the puker's guts out, looks stressed as hell, like, yeah, she's doing it, but it hurts.
Yeah, it
a lot.
Yeah, but it hurts She's not gonna go scanners. She's not in any real trouble.
Yeah.
The fight's really one-sided. The fight is really one-sided.
Dawn of Fold girls are basically just, okay, boom, dead, boom, like every ship in the damn harbor. Boom, 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 boom. Meanwhile, Jeturk, in his infinite dumbassery, says, give me one of the newest suits, I'm going out. You are the president of the company. Where the fuck are you going?
Yeah, just out he goes. We see that, you know, as all of these explosions are going off, Delling takes some shrapnel, and he's trying to explain the backstory of the Rembrandt family and why only one parent is alive. And it's like, this is a bad time. I don't know if you know this, Jeff, but don't talk to your kids about being a single parent when you have shrapnel in you. That's one of the rules. It's one of the rules, I'm told.
Not in anime. if you have some life-altering, you know, information about your child's parentage and past, you wait till the last possible second to talk about it. That's just the rules. But yeah, he doesn't quite, you know, spill everything out, but he reveals mom and him have an agreement that if you have to sacrifice the other, protect the daughter, you do it. And he apparently did.
There was a reason for her to die, apparently. Goon Squad continues to Goon Squad.
I do like, during that, one of the other pilots says, you're polluting space, physical ammunition. You see shell casing just floating around. Like, no, he's got a point. Those just are going to be there until they either burn up in orbit or just kind of float around.
So there is a thing, there's a phenomena named for Richard Kessler called the Kessler Syndrome, which is basically, it's a really simple math equation that things in space can only multiply exponentially. You put things in orbit, they're going to hit other things, and when they break, you just have more things in orbit. It is a concern as we put more things, like the CubeSat, brilliant device. It is basically a standardized box for satellite dishes. It's about the size of a shoebox, but it is anything you can put in low orbit as long as it fits in this box. It's a great thing that NASA cooked up. We're about to fill low orbit with 5G receivers, and it's going to ruin everything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is how Cowboy Bebop. Do you want Cowboy Bebop Earth?
Well, it's also how we get Planetes Earth, where you just have a bunch of guys who are paid to be space garbage men.
Right, which is... If you look up, you can look at, go on NASA's website and look at how many satellites are above you right now. It's kind of hilarious and horrifying at the same time.
Well, it's the biggest, it is people who want these microsatellites so that we can have internet everywhere. It's not as good as fiber and it's three times more expensive, but you'll have it everywhere. And I'm like, so one of the big providers of these satellites is SpaceX.
Elon.
A Tesla Model 3 turned on its full self-drive beta last week. 8-car pileup and it killed a child. I don't think SpaceX satellites are going to do a great job of dodging each other.
Well, I'm just saying, if you want to do this, fine. Take it very slow.
Yeah.
You can't screw this up. can't.
Mika sees that these are Earth suits. Asu realizes that she is being attacked by her own people and does a little Morse code.
And Sophie. I don't think it's Sophie. It's the other girl.
Yeah.
Sees that.
Norea is like, oh, all right. Inside it's man doesn't have to die.
Right. So, oh, it's one of us. Pulls up gun and flies up, which just would be great, except for the leader of Earth House that.
Marty saw it!
Like, the hell? And we don't see anything more beyond that.
Yeah, that's going to be a great thing to talk about in season 2, in 4 months. Smash that like button and ring the bell now. We'll be back in 4 months.
Hey, wait for it. Don't get ahead of yourself.
We'll get to it.
Meanwhile, Bob the Builder...
Bob is going to do something dumb.
hold on. As this is happening, I'm like, what the hell are you? You are taking out an enemy suit, essentially. We're stealing one of Dawn of Fool's suits and flying into combat to talk to your father's suit. You are flying an enemy suit in an active battleground, you dumbass.
Like, this is, like, if you want to fly away, if you are, like, literally, I have to escape, great, go for it. I like escaping. I don't like your odds with the space criminals. I don't like your odds.
I'm just saying.
But flying towards the problem, bad. They're going to shoot you.
Right. It's like me saying, okay, I've been captured by the Japanese in World War II. I steal a Zero and I start flying towards the enemy, to an American aircraft carrier. They are going to shoot at you. Yep. I don't care what you say over the radio. They're going to try and kill you.
Yep. Bad plan. Don't do it. And again, comms are down. The Dawn of Fold busted comms first thing. He can't do anything. He doesn't. Bob doesn't know Morse code.
Right. And of course, Bob's flying around. And who should he happen to find, my dear friend Scott?
It's Vim Jethurk. And he's like, I don't want to shoot anyone. Anyone. I just want to help. So he dodges a while. But Jethurk has sortied in a very high-powered device, and
the newest suit, top of the line. The Dawn of Fold does not have top of the line suits.
No,
except for two Gundams.
They got two Gundams and a bunch of surplus stuff.
Right. So that surplus, old school, just a wannabe thing, slowly gets taken apart piece by piece. Dad doesn't know what he's attacking. Because dead comms are down and Bob's an idiot. He slices at the head, and just in almost guttural reaction, Bob, who turns out all this time was Geld. You know that?
Yeah, I know. The big shocker. The big shocker is that Bob, beloved new character Bob, is in fact Ghoul Jethurk.
Who knew? Takes his dagger, takes his GN dagger, which apparently they have in this universe, stabs the cockpit. Then comms are somehow are working because the suits are touching.
Well, they're in contact. Direct contact means transmission. Right. This is the rules in all Gundam.
And by direct contact, I mean a sword is currently in his father's chest cavity. And they finally realize who each other are. He tries momentarily to save his father. Suit blows up and Bob goes insane.
We also find out that this is not a Billy Madison scenario where he has to work every job in the Jethurk fleet. No, but Ghoul was living under a fake name, just got a regular temp job and had run away from home. And it's like, you hear Vim say, well, we sent people to look, I was actually worried. And I'm like, okay, you were not a good dad at any point in the past dozen episodes, but you just proved you were a dad.
Right. He cares. He cares about his son. He's not a good father, but we're not Gendo territory, okay?
Yeah.
He's not good at his role, but he is still.
He cared. He's just bad at caring. It's, you know.
But they're both not very smart.
They're also dumb.
Yeah, they share that. CEO goes out into an active battlefield in a high model suit, and his son takes an enemy suit into the... Oh, God, Bob, you're an idiot.
Look, I respect him for escaping, but his move was just to accelerate away and just mash the distress call button.
Yeah, until you get far enough... If he just ran away, he probably would have ran into the military, and they would have had him surrender. And he's like, yeah, yeah, sure, fine, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, like, he'd have just got, like, this is it. He would have run into, spoiler for about 5 minutes from now, the Earth fleet. Someone from the authorities, factions in this setting are a bit confusing, but someone from the authorities was on their way, and he'd have bumped into the authorities, and he would have been mashing the distress call button, so he'd have just gotten grabbed.
Yeah. One thing before we get on to the next creepy thing, which we'll talk about in a second, is they keep mentioning the witch hunters.
Yep.
You never see them. Right at the beginning, it's like, okay, we need to get this done for the witch hunters show up. And later, when they said, witch hunters are inbound, they're like, okay, time to go.
Yep.
So whoever these guys are, Dunafold wants nothing to do with them.
Real deal. Real deal. So Suleta has been crawling through the vents to get to the hangar where the Ariel is, because it's like, well, all I know how to do is get to the Ariel and save the day, so I will. And she accidentally reveals her position to the commando guys. And she's sitting there about to be shot when out pops Mom and her personal assistant, and they murder everybody.
Yeah. They go full Misato, just pop, 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 pop. And not unlike Shinji, she's traumatized by it. Not for very long.
Well, Mommy Dearest just has this way, and we've seen this before. We've seen that, you know, just Prospera can talk to her daughter and everything is fine. Everything
yes.
is absolutely fine.
Conspiracy theory time. One of two things is happening here. Either A, this is a would you kindly thing where she says to move forward, or she says some kind of phrase that we haven't picked up on yet. Whenever she says it, she'll let her do what she wants. Or, more likely, this is an Order 66 scenario, and she is somehow programmed to follow whatever Mom says.
I don't think it's that. I think that she's just, no, like, because we've seen this. It's like Mom says the reassuring thing and she's on board. It's congrats, you have a manipulative, abusive parent. I've been there.
She went from horribly traumatized, shaking, damn near crapping her pants, terrified, to 20 minutes later, we'll get to it.
Anyway. Suleta, you know, feels comforted. She settles herself down. And, oh, we have a literal crossing of the threshold. Because, you know what? Akuchi's met authors that use subtext, and they're all cowards.
Again, let's hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, just a threshold that's covered in blood. We'll step across it.
Yes, well. Now, the new Ariel pops up when one of the Gundams bursts into the... This new Ariel is a... And it has a badass entrance.
Mike
Clear's eyes light up. And it's like, this is like, it really does look a lot like the Full Burn, the GPO 2, the one. Whatever. Point is, whatever, it looks a lot like the Full Burn version of that. But, ooh, it's sweet. Goes out, has a short battle with Sophie. Pretty even keel battle until Suleta does what she does and cranks it up. She takes all the funnels, takes the big gun out the back, all the funnels, or fins, or bits, whatever you want to call them.
They're gun
combine
bits.
It into turn into one big-ass gun that would make the Wing Zero blush.
Well, it is the G-Impact cannon from Super Robot Wars is what it is.
It's a BFG. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
And there's something interesting happens, is the other girl, not Sophie, I keep forgetting her name, I just want
Norea.
To call her Neil.
Norea.
Has a little twitch. You don't hear the new type sound. She obviously, you can sense, okay, move. Everybody move. Blast comes through and she does Kira, Yamato. Doesn't kill anybody. Severely damages suits. My question was, would she have actually killed a whole bunch of people if Duray didn't give her a warning, like, everybody move?
Oh, yeah, totally. Totally. Again, she...
So she was aiming to kill the whole damn time. It's just, Duray got a new type flash and said, run.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bit more tussling. The gun bits have sensors on them, I guess.
It did that same grid thing before, but right after the end is a big spread out. Well, first off, that's when the Dawnfold main ships goes, witch hunters inbound, in which case both the Gundams of the girls and all the Justice go, we out, bye.
Yeah.
Whatever's coming, they want no part of.
Not dealing with that.
And then she used that same grid technique she used on the Grassley Gal. So, and she was, you know, spreads out, and just like I thought, that is a tracking. She does a full grid, and she goes, oh, I know where she is. Credits roll. And then...
After the credits, we get our scene where it turns out that... Well, first, before we get the credits, we see Shadeek and Ilan are, like, somehow aware of what, well, Dunafold calls Shadeek, and it's like, yeah, we buggered up, sorry, you know, we'll refund your deposit on murder. LN5 also somehow knows what's going on. Don't know how.
Because he's in the pocket. Come on, you know it.
Yeah, something's up. He's got an inside track. We get the end credits, and, well, we see that Mio has done some very good first aid. You don't remove the shrapnel, ever.
Right.
Because that just makes him bleed faster. So she's got him taped down so he can't move, which is also not disturbing the puncture wound. And she's floating him to somewhere safe, probably.
Yeah, I don't know if there's somewhere safe, but it turns out that place is not there. Apparently, one of the mercenaries did not get the memo that it's time to bugger off, because he shows up, pulls out a gun, says, fine, if I'm going down, I at least take dealing with us. Boss can keep this deposit. But a Gundam burst through the wall. I'm still trying to figure out why there wasn't a vacuum behind it. Fine, whatever.
Well, it could be an inner room. Like, okay. There's probably some pressure loss going on there logistically. Further back, fine. Yeah.
It's zero G, regardless, because everybody's floating around, among other things. He keeps the gun on her. There's a reaction of, oh, crap, he doesn't know what to do. She says, oh, no, you don't. And smashes him into a fine paste, except for one arm.
Just boom. Wham! Poor bloody infantry, as we called it in the BattleTech days.
Yes, and I let out a literal, I just went, oh, shit! I mean, as a jaded Gundam fan, that one's still...
Nah, this is an all-time memorable one.
Oh, yeah, and this Suleta, is up there with the...
It's up there, F-91, Victory.
Yeah, it's up there with the Victory Beam Saber. It's up there with the F-91 showcasing to the head. I mean, as Gundam deaths go, I'm like, I just couldn't help thinking for that guy. It's like, that hurt really bad for like half a second.
Like, that hurt a lot until it didn't.
Right. Until there was nothing left to hurt. Because he was... Can I also say, man, that guy had a lot of blood in him. I mean,
that dude,
damn.
Like,
he must have been a big guy, and we just couldn't see it very well. Like, 6 foot
like,
5.
Even for anime, that's like, it's a lot of goop for one guy.
Yeah. And one hand just kind of floats by and almost hits Mio, and she's just in utter shock of what she's just seen. And if it just ended there, it'd be disturbing. But Suleta falls out of the cockpit, basically, into the pile of blood. I mean, just right into it, butt first, hand and legs, chuckles that I'm such a klutz, gets up, reaches out her bloody hand, I've come to rescue you, Miss Meadery. And a little spatch of blood just goes on her face as it's all floating around her, and how can you smile? And she's got this cute little grin like she's had the whole time, and you're just like, what?
It's a shocker. It's a good one. Just the right kind of mean, the right kind of surprising. I'm really, and again, Mio just said, straight up says, oh, you're a murderer. And then the card, we're done. Yeah. See you in 4 months.
Yeah. I've been a little angry at Mio for like, yeah, she's a murderer, but she saved your life.
She's speaking from shock. She is speaking from shock.
I'm just saying. She just saved you. You just don't like the way she saved you. She could have, you know, popped out, pulled out a handgun, shot him in the head. Took too long. She just decided to take the faster route. The faster route was a heck of a lot nastier.
Just real quick, real expedient.
That's why I think this is a Order 66 scenario. That's 20 minutes ago. She was about ready to vomit. Sick to her stomach, couldn't stand up straight. Her eyeballs were doing this weird iris thing where it's going in and out. Terrified and her pants scared. 20 minutes later, she turns an armed gunman into a fine paste. And laughs about it afterwards.
We'll see what happens after she's had time to decompress from this day. I do have to say, you know what? I really like this ending. This is a very good episode. Very good episode. I'm very happy with it. But I am going to say that I think there is a breed of fan reaction to this episode that is like perversely happy. Not that it was messy, but they've imagined a fan who was like, "Ooh, I'm just here for the cute school antics," and now, look, I'm laughing at that imaginary fan. Look at them. They're so shocked. They're not ready for real Gundam. Gasp. Yeah. Gatekeep. Bernie Burgers. Lol, lol, lol. Edge. And I'm like, the prologue happened. That was 5 months ago. It was mean, too. The first episode was very mean. There are no fans of this show that are as clueless as you are imagining, Edge fan.
I'm just saying. I looked on Twitter afterwards. I said this on Twitter, like to all the newcomers who I've seen reacting on Twitter, like, "Oh my god, what is this? What the? This what happened to this show? What's going on? She's killing people." I'm like, "Welcome to Mobile Suit Gundam. Buckle up. This isn't gatekeeping. This is just saying, welcome to the ride. It's gonna get bumpy." And you and I have been saying this the whole time. It's like, we're waiting for the rug. Last week, the rug got pulled. This time, we all fall down. I thought it was going to be a bunch more people. Turned out it was a hand.
Yeah, you're like, this is it. In honesty, I'm surprised that the death count is this low. I was really worried for the kids from Earth House more than anything.
Yeah. Earth House made it completely fine.
The goat is fine. The goat's fine.
That's fine. The goat's going to be fine no matter what. The goat's going to be the only one in. Who already knows how this season ends. Like I told you, he's R2-D2. He knows everything.
The goat knows.
But Delling has survived. That was the one person like, he's dead. Nope, he's alive. Barely, but alive.
I mean, he doesn't have a kidney anymore. He doesn't.
No. Luckily,
they're going to have to build him a fancy robot kidney.
Yeah, well, hopefully the other one's still working fine. But still, anyway. Delling, he's toast. Jet Herc's toast. We also thought he would die, and he did.
Yeah, he was on my list of guys who were going to die, for sure.
I was convinced Mio was dead. Nope, she's fine. Well, I don't know if fine is the right word, but she's alive. I was wondering about Prosper. Nope. The only one who really bit the bullet on this one was Jet Turk. And, well, Bob now has severe PTSD.
Bob's not going to be in a great place.
Just saying, in season two, I bet you money he's wearing a mask.
Bob, no, I think Bob is back to being Bob. He's going to go back to his temp job and not deal with any of this. We might not see Bob ever again.
Sorry, I'm never going to call him by Gail. I'm calling him Bob.
No, he's Bob. For now, he is merely Bob.
It's like a Kasval Char situation. No, he's Char, but his real name's Kasval. No, it's not. But yeah, that ending, like you said, we were talking last week. You thought last week's cliffhanger was a doozy. Well, who?
Like 2 weeks was a lot, and I'm like, stupid New Year's program and stupid. But now, like 4 months, this is mean. This is when they're launching a lot of the kits that we haven't gotten so far. I hope maybe we'll get I want a spin-off manga that is just Mean Girls with all the bully characters back on Earth House, back on the school.
Yeah, on that side note, that girl is still on the stairs.
Until we see the girl with blue hair up and moving, she is not up. She is in a coma.
Like I said, I thought at the end of season one, no, apparently season two, that's when the school's toast. She's going to sit up and go, oh, crap. Hopefully someone was giving her water intravenously or something.
Yeah, she's dehydrated. She's in trouble.
I couldn't eat ketchup for a couple of days afterwards.
Yeah, I had made a lasagna the day before. Sauce from scratch.
Just the way it was floating off her hand. And the smile on her face. Like I said, if the show just ended right there with the slap, that was the end of it. And made me a reaction of, you know, her look shock on her face. That'd be rough. That'd be bad. But to see her pop out of the cockpit, fall in the giant puddle of blood, get up, reach her hand out with that same cutesy smile she's always had, "I've come to save you." Like, okay.
Yeah. Ooh. I mean, I am very excited to see where we go from here. I think the writing staff on this are absolutely loving that they have a 4-month break. They are loving they got to just leave us on that.
I'm willing to bet money now this is a age type situation. We're getting a shorter season, a shorter season, and a third shorter season. We'll end up right around the 50 episode mark.
Again, Bandai doesn't announce anything until literally the day of. The fact that they're calling the next set season 2 is interesting, but I'm not saying that we might not get another 2 cores out of this somehow.
Well, you don't announce a season 3 until you know, you can say, okay, we're going to give you at least 2 seasons. Show sucks, you're not getting anything else. That's good, we'll give you 1 more set. It's like, okay, after the first season, I think they know, okay, we got a winner on our hands.
I think, the TV ratings are pretty normal for a Sunday 5 o'clock slot. Like, they're, 2.6% on average, which is pretty good. The streaming numbers in Japan are great, and this is the first time they've had in a while that they're simulcasting with a corporate partner as opposed to themselves, which means they've got money coming in from that as well. So we might see a season 3 or 4 coming up. We also might see 2 seasons and a movie. I'd be fine with 2 seasons and a movie. 2 short seasons and a movie.
I'd like the 3 seasons and a movie. I've always thought, okay, here's the rule. If you get to 50 and you've got a still popularity, you get one of 2 things. You get a bonus movie, like the 00 route, or if you're really rocking it, maybe you get a sequel series like Destiny. Granted, that's only happened once, not counting mainline UC.
Yeah.
But probably my guess is we're going 3 seasons and a movie.
Yeah, we will probably we might get to 50 episodes overall. Maybe a movie, like, maybe a special.
Full park,
we'll see.
51, 52, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
And then, maybe they wrap all of it up except for the last little bit and then give us that in the movie like 00 did.
No, again, for halfway through a Gundam, I'm happy.
Yes. My favorite thing about this show after its first season, putting air quotes in season, is Gundam is very formulaic, especially for us who've watched pretty much all the Gundam shows.
Oh, there's so many shows that are just, gonna say Destiny, it is a Gundam that is made out of other Gundams.
Right. It's checking boxes, it's hitting points every Gundam show hits. This show is doing that, but much more subtly, and to the point that usually you can predict certain things in shows. Gundam 00, I was able to predict, not with a great deal of accuracy, but with some accuracy, what was about to happen. The G-Reco, I still have no idea what was happening, nor does anyone else.
I don't think the movies for that help.
Yeah. Iron-Blooded Orphans, I was able to predict what happened, and I wish I wasn't. This show, I have no clear-cut idea what's going to happen, and I like that.
Like, I have a bunch of guesses. I think we're starting season 2 with everyone kind of, with our core cast kind of at odds with each other, and other characters taking advantage of that. Like, Shadeek's going to move in on Mio. I think Elan 5 is going to move in on Saleta. But this is it. It's like Shadeek's going to make a play for more power, but we already knew Shadeek's going to make a play for more power. That's all he wants. He told us that.
Yeah. His plan was to bring down the whole system. Well, system's still intact. But it is still functional.
Jeterk's like out. You got dead Jeterk and Bob. Bob's not playing the game no more. Bob's out.
Oh yeah, he took out a chess piece, but most of the board is still standing.
Well, Delin's coming back with a robot kidney, and he's gonna be out for blood, which he needs to replace more often because his robot kidney probably isn't all that great.
Yeah, I think we can say safely now that whatever that big white Gundam with the giant sword is that everyone's been curious about, Bob ain't piloting that.
That's not Bob's. That is not Bob's.
I'm going to take a wild guess and say that's one of the Witch Hunter suits.
That might be a Witch Hunter, yeah.
Because I just like the fact they keep teasing that. They teased that a couple episodes ago when, not Jet Turks, but, what's the one of the family, the adopted son who's trying to take over everything?
Yeah, Grassley.
Grassley, you know, starts asking all these questions. Why aren't the Witch Hunters out? I forget what he called them, but there's a specific team name for them. Why aren't they doing anything? It's like, and that was all we talked about. Like, this episode, as soon as the attack starts, the head of Dawn of Fold tells the girls, okay, be quick. We don't know when the Witch Hunters are going to show up. And as soon as they say, Witch Hunters are inbound, everyone says, out. These two girls who were wrecking the place and killing and just kicking
absolute
everyone's
one-sided
ass.
Totally one-sided.
And Sophie was holding her own against Suletta, even in like overclock Suletta, whatever that was. She was handling it. She wasn't winning, but she wasn't losing either. As soon as she heard Witch Hunters, she's like, bye.
Whatever they got, it's real, it's serious, and we're going to see that in action in season two.
Oh, I'm no doubt. I bet that might be one of the first things we see.
Yeah. I think that wraps it up for me. I will say that Bandai still owns the 5 o'clock Sunday slot on TBS. They are filling it with TV recuts of Hathaway, T-Bolt, and NT. We're not going to do those week to week, but we will be back in a month. We'll talk about Hathaway. I don't think the TV recut is going to be available to us in English at all. They won't let me know that. Like, Bandai's not going to tell me that till Saturday, presumably. Mm. But we will be back in a month. We'll talk about NT, even if we're just talking about, not NT, Hathaway, which will be, is still on Netflix if you got Netflix. So we'll talk about that movie, if nothing else. But until then, I want to say that rightstuff.com has the stuff, and you should go to the link in the description so that they will give us money for saying that Right Stuff has the stuff. And this has nothing to do with me, nothing to do with the link in the description, but what you should do, if you've never done it, phone their customer support line. Actually phone them. It is hilarious. I won't tell you what it is, but it is amazing, and you should phone their 800 number.
Now you got me curious. I'm going to go do it later.
Once we're offline, I might put it on speaker for you. But until next month, smash that like button.
Wipe off the hand afterwards. Sanitize.
And we will see you then.
Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next time.
You've been listening to the audio version of the recap from Mercury. It's also available live on Jabman025's YouTube channel. Feel free to join us on any of our recordings in the chat. Otherwise, I'd thank you to leave a rating, a comment, or a review wherever you found it. Share it if you'd like as well. The music in this episode is by Punk Rock Opera. Check them out on Bandcamp. Until next time. Have a good one.